Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tom?
Well, geez, there's a lot going on, so let's dive into it. 20% share from public workers moves ahead. The Republicans who control the state legislature, and this was written by Tim Martin, on Wednesday took a key step toward requiring public employees in Michigan to pay at least 20% of their health insurance premiums. We knew this was coming. What's your take on this?
Well, the Senate Republicans are advancing that idea that state employees and other municipal employees and school employees should pay at least 20% of their health care benefits. And that was a proposal that the voters are actually going to have to vote on. I mean, the legislators can put it in front of us as part of a constitutional amendment in 2012, but that's still something that the voters are going to have to vote on. So there's going to be a lot of debate on this if the Republicans in the House are able to get two-thirds majority put it on the ballot. It's easy in the Senate to do because they already have a two-thirds majority. But in the House, we saw yesterday that the Republicans aren't going to get everything they want as far as two-thirds majorities. They weren't able to get it on a measure yesterday. And so it's not a slam dunk, but it really does advance a debate that's happening in Lansing on how much should state employees and public employees pay toward their health care.
I was surprised that expanded benefits survived in the House. As you know, there were many who opposed that. What's your take on that story?
Yeah, the Democrats in the House voted against the proposal to put on or to revoke a decision by the Civil Service Commission to extend health care benefits to live-in boyfriends and girlfriends, same-sex or opposite sex. And it showed me that the Democrats are holding firm on some principles. And there's two principles being held firm here. One is that this is the only way because of our constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man, one woman. But this is the only way to allow same-sex couples to get any type of health benefits, to allow those types of families to enjoy what opposite sex couples enjoy in the way of benefits for themselves and any children that may be in the relationship. And so that was one thing. The other thing is is protecting collective bargaining rights in the way that Republicans are kind of chipping away at the things that labor unions can bring to the table for negotiations. And this is one of the things that labor unions like to bring because this is about members. This is about people who have certain needs and want certain things to protect them and their family. And so those were the things that the Democrats were debating this issue on. And it wasn't necessarily a pro-gay or an anti-gay thing as much as it was about collective bargaining as well, and also sticking it to an unelected body, the Civil Service Commission, that put the state in the position of offering these benefits in the first place.
Kyle, a Michigan House panel has okayed. Whoa. Can you hear us, Kyle?
Yeah,
we had a little bit of feedback here. A Michigan House panel has okayed cutting state aid to public universities by 15%. What's your take on that story?
Well, as part of the agreement to trim back the amount of benefits from a person's pension that can be taxed, the Republicans are going to have to find additional cuts in the budget to make up for it. And so there's going to be a lot of different cuts throughout the budget that we're going to see now that we didn't see originally from Governor Rick Snyder, and this was one of them. You know, the libraries have taken cuts throughout the last decade, a little here, a little there, a little there, and this is just a continuation of it. You know, we got rid of even the state department that oversaw libraries, and now it's in the Department of Education. So the priority has just been chipping away. I mean, unfortunately, libraries fall pretty low on the priority list for lawmakers when you put it up against Medicaid funding or schools, education, corrections, putting people in prison. You know, it just falls down the priority list. It's great. Everybody loves libraries, but if it's between a library and keeping somebody locked up in prison, unfortunately, the library is going to get nicked.
Kyle, you've talked about compromise is going to have to be the order of the year in order to get this budget deficit down to almost $2 billion, to get that into the black. There are some revisions to tax plans that is a revised proposal that would allow older seniors to keep their tax breaks on retirement income. Talk about that story.
Well, you know what I found interesting in that is there's a recognition that folks who are retired now, 67 years of age or older, have made certain plans with their income. I mean, obviously, senior citizens 67 and older are classified technically as having fixed incomes. They don't have any more income, and so they've got their financial situation very meticulously planned out, that we're going to have this go to this and this go to that, and to throw additional $1,000 or, you know, $1,500 into the mix is a significant amount of money that throws folks into, you know, a little disarray. And so what the Republicans have agreed to do is, why don't we tax the income going forward? And so we're almost at this point phasing out the exemptions on pensions and retirement income, and we're phasing it in by letting folks who are going to be retiring know, hey, listen, in the future we are going to be taxing this income, so you might as well just go ahead and plan for it, because they agree that it's a fairness issue, that if you do get a 401k, why should you be taxed on the income when the folk making his pension payment is not being taxed on it? So why is there that double standard? Well, they realize there's a little bit of fairness issue there, so we're going to correct that going forward and into the future for folks retiring. But right now, folks who were not planning on paying taxes were told that they weren't being paid taxes on that. It's a little unfair now to go ahead and tax them on that income, and especially when it's going to probably put a burden on them. So that's kind of the idea behind the compromise, just trying to protect folks going forward.
Kyle, where are we in the process of trimming that nearly $2 billion deficit? Do you think that they're making good time? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, they're making fantastic time, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we're already in the subcommittee phase right now, and the subcommittees are kicking out their proposals in earnest right now, both in the House and the Senate, and we saw that all this week. It's a very, very busy week this week with all those being kicked out of subcommittee. And we're seeing everybody's proposals. And in a lot of cases, they're not all that different from either the governor's plan or the other chamber's plan. So folks are moving along with the proposals. We're getting some debate on where these cuts are going to be coming from. And they're moving forward to try and get this thing done by May 31st, which is when the governor wanted to see it done. You know, next week is going to be a little more difficult because we have Passover, the Jewish holiday, and so the legislature has traditionally taken that off in deference to its Jewish members. And so there's only going to be a day and a little bit of another day to get some more stuff done. But I think May is going to be a very busy month. And they're going to try hard to get this thing done, because I think the sooner they get it done, you know, the better, because it masks the story about how ugly this thing is going to look by them being able to actually get it done in a timely fashion, so that school districts and municipalities whose fiscal year start July 1 can actually plan on what income they're not or are receiving from the state.
Kyle, I want to get your perspective on this next question. I constantly hear that the rich in the state of Michigan, the people who own businesses, are allowed too much leeway when it comes to tax credits, and that really hurts everyone else. What's your perspective on this? Is it as bad as folks say?
Well, you know, the tax credits, you know, I think that there's a recognition that there's a lot of them, and that folks are taking advantage of what's available or what they asked to have out there in the first place. You know, there's no question there are a lot of them out there, and that's why the governor had proposed the budget that kind of got rid of them all, because they were being taken advantage by some to the detriment of others. Now, is there much difference to having a lot of tax credits and then a lot of people taking advantage of them compared to having no tax credits to the advantage of those who are taking advantage of the tax credits in the first place. I mean, it's kind of, it's almost 50 cents or a half dollar, really, because, you know, businesses in, under Governor Snyder's tax plan are going to be getting a big tax break, across-the-board tax break, whereas under the current system, businesses were being getting allowed to take advantage of tax credits. So, you know, from the state perspective, I think I'm the, maybe the person asking the question about the rich being able to take advantage of tax credits, that, that may be, you know, on the federal tax returns. I mean, there may be something more deeper into that, and that's a little above my layer of expertise. But at the state level, I can say that the tax credits on businesses are going away, but businesses are getting a nice tax advantage when it comes to filing their business taxes.
Kyle, we appreciate you greatly. Thanks so much for the knowledge. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, you too, Tony. I appreciate it.